Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is tape number 345. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways to receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. Postage and handling and the price is absolutely free. We have singing and music today, and we have some testimonials, and we've got a very powerful message from the Lord in regard to the structure of immortality, the structure of salvation, the structure of the body of Christ with the head, which is Jesus. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we have Bible reading today, Lord, as you know, and we're going to allow you to just take over my mouth and my whole spirit with your spirit mingled in mine and to transmit all the things that you want the people that are not yet saved for them to know. And Lord, for them to understand it so thoroughly because it's broken down into the actual simplicity of your word. The simplicity of the gospel is the thing that has always stumbled the people of the world. They feel that people must be rocket scientists in order to understand salvation. But what kind of a merciful God would you be if it was that complicated? Little children are able to come unto you because the message of salvation is so easy. And so therefore, Lord, I just pray for you, and I know you will take over this service, that the unsaved will be able to understand it and be saved, and that the church will be strengthened, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that, Lord, you'll destroy all the works of Satan. We mustn't forget that this is what you also called us into the world to do, is to tear down every power, principality, with the word of God, to show the people that the things that they're believing today, that the world teaches them, which is the satanic world, is powered by the spirit of Satan and the Vatican and the world government and the media, and that, Lord, that the church will not be afraid any longer, that because the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in the lake of fire, and that they'll no longer be frightened because you've already destroyed the works of Satan, and he's already condemned to hell, and also that you've already condemned this world to a big fire. And we're at the end of time now, and Lord, let everyone receive this message today, both the saved and the unsaved, that the saved will be strengthened and the unsaved will become born again spirits, sons of God. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now we have to just keep going. We have to keep going in Jesus. Now Jesus is the head, and he also is the body. But his body is composed of many born of the spirit Christians. We're not separate. The body is no good without the head. And the head is really no good without the body. The Lord says that he in us will do greater things than he even did then, because the body today is larger. There's more of us today that have the Spirit of God living in us than that one body of Jesus. During the time that Jesus was here on this earth, there was only one person that was filled, that was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore he was limited to time and area or space. And he was only able to get out gospel wherever he personally went. He did give power to preach the gospel to some of his disciples, but at that time they did not have the actual Spirit of God living in them until after his resurrection, when he became the life-giving Spirit. He breathed the Spirit of life into them, and they were able to receive life. But then they had to, 50 days later, in the upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they received the baptism, the compounded Spirit of God, the sevenfold Spirit of God into them, so that they would be fitting for the ministry. It's impossible to be in the ministry and to be able to stand through the struggles of Christianity today, all of the degradation and the persecutions and everything, unless we have that compounded, multi-complete power of God within us. When we have that, praise the Lord, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And who could be against us if God is with us? Not only with us, but in us. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to continue on, the Bible plainly states, to the end in order for us to be saved. So it's a process that Jesus went through. When he was first born, he had to be processed into human life. He had to go through it, but without sin. He bore the cross to not commit sin or love the world at all. He gave his entire self to God, and he said that that's what we have to do. And at the end of his life, he was crucified, and he had to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which happened to him immediately after his baptism, water baptism. And the Spirit came down upon him as a dove, and in the upper room, the Spirit came down upon all the brothers and sisters there as cloven tongues of fire. And they spoke in other languages that they had no idea how to speak. It was the Spirit that gave them utterance. And it is also today the Spirit that gives us utterance. That's why it's so important in the ministry for us to have. It's impossible to be in the ministry or to transmit the things that the Lord is saying to the world through us if we are not anointed heavily with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, now that we are crucified, we become crucified when we're born again of the Spirit. When the Spirit enters us, the Spirit of eternal life, then we become crucified to the Lord, and there's different process that we go through in order to be a Christian to the end, because we must be a Christian walking in the law of the Spirit of life to the end, in Christ Jesus, that is. We have to walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Those that continue on to the end shall be saved. So, like, you know, when we continue on in this world, people say, right on, right on. And here's Fake Springman to sing, right on, King Jesus. No man can hinder you when the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen?
Amen.
No man can hinder me. Okay, go ahead.
No.
Now, in order for Praise the Lord, I really love the way that guy sings. Big Springman. So, you know, we need to know right now, just today, right this minute, the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Because sometimes, you know, like for instance, some people that I know that are Christians were, they're not that bright in business, and what they did is they forgot to register some of their vehicles in another state. They had them registered in another state, so what I had to do is to get on the phone and make sure that it's registered. They were fined over $10,000, and they were in a quandary. But the work of the Holy Spirit within us is coordinated by the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord puts us in line. He coordinates us. In other words, so that we can continue riding on. If we were just to forget about the rules and regulations of this world. Now, the world is on its way to hell in the lake of fire. But still, there are some rules and regulations like licenses and paying taxes, which Jesus also did, that you have to take care of in order to be a businessman or a businesswoman. You can't just go out there and sell product and not keep records of your receipts and your books, records, and receipts to show the Internal Revenue Service. We can't lie. So you've got to be a strong witness of the Lord, because if you're a part of the body of Christ, if you're the body of Christ, or one of the many members of the corporate body of Christ, he's the head, and the body doesn't do differently than what the head does. The head and the body are one, and Jesus would never lie. Amen?
Amen?
And that's why if you're lying, you can't go to heaven, because you're not in the body. So in order for you to be able to continue on in this world, the Lord has mercy on us and teaches us. He's trying to coordinate the body of Christ in with the head. He doesn't want you to get out of line with Jesus, who is the head of his body. It's his body. And we are the tabernacle, or the church, of God. We're the temple of God. And so, if we're doing the temple, or his body, or the house of God, or the Bethel of God, Bethel means house of God in the Hebrew language, then we're not connected to the head. And so the Lord doesn't want that to happen, and so therefore he prepares for us some outward discipline of the Holy Spirit to coordinate our his body, which is us, into the same thinking as him, the head. Because we can't get into heaven outside of his body, all right? So he gives us discipline, the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is, you can say that the inward working of the Holy Spirit is primarily for the obedient ones. If we're in coordination with the head, with Jesus, then we're considered the obedient ones, and we're perfect. But for the ones that are yet imperfect, the Lord prepares some outward outside of our bodies, puts us through the mill. We have to go through fire in order to be like pure gold. So the ones that God leads, guides, and directs by the Holy Spirit, they are very sensitive to the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And when they feel the moving of the Holy Spirit within them, they immediately obey. It's like the Lord lately has told me, don't eat any more bread, don't eat any more potatoes, because potatoes and breads, they turn into certain kinds of bread, they turn into sugar, and there's a lot of yeast factors in there, and he's allowed me to, because I was disobedient to him so far as eating our sugar. I used to just live on candy bars and pies, cakes, candies, and cookies. And so he took all those away from me. And if I, now knowing for sure that this is not of the Lord, if I did it, I would die. He told me if I had one more candy bar, I'd die. When I used to smoke, he told me if you eat smoke one more cigarette, you're going to die. And so I quit. And he took those things away from me. The same thing with dairy and beef. And there's, you know, I love beef. Beef steak, beef stew, all these different things, but I just don't have them anymore. So that some in this sense, this is an outward thing, you know. My tongue desires all these different things, but the Lord has disciplined me and has caused me to give the... I said, well, the Lord, I prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to give me control over the things that I desire to eat, the things... There's all kinds of temptations and stuff. But when he told me that I, the only way that he could do that is to tell me you're going to die. And he doesn't kid around. If you're going to die, you'll die. Now, there's children all over the world that catch diabetes. I mean, there's so many people that this big company, vitamin mineral company, opened up a huge, they spent $1 billion or more to open a company to make diabetic pills because they believe that that's the best investment in the world, is because they believe that everybody is so uncontrolled outwardly that they're all going to be, most of the population will be diabetic very soon. And it's like a landslide of business right now. So the inward working of the Holy Spirit is primarily for those that, of us who are the obedient ones. And the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit is primarily for the people that are disobedient, ones that are stiff-necked. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, God arranges outwardly the discipline. That's what I just told you. He puts people in an environment, like, you know, in different areas, I have to... buy things for people, and I can't make them stop eating sweet things just because I've got diabetes, or the Lord told me to not eat those things. But the sugar is definitely poison. And so when people are eating sugar, which the body doesn't know what to do with, they're coming close. Eventually, they will have diabetes. And there's so many different varieties of candies, cakes, pies, and cookies and things like that. And other sweet things, almost everything that you eat has got sugar in it. So I even watch everything because I don't want any sugar in my system whatsoever. You get enough from vegetables, and I can eat very little fruit. But so the Lord puts those kind of people in an environment that they are never that happy with, unless they are really people who want to ride on with Jesus, who right now want to serve the Lord. Some people understand when the Holy Spirit moves and anoints within them and obey this anointing or the voice which the Lord God imparts unto them. God's will is then accomplished in people. And that's what he wants. He's tailor-made us out of the dirt of the ground into his likeness and image, and he wants to live in us. For us no longer to live our own life, we have to put that an end to the old life. That's the second stage in the salvation. We get washed in the blood. So we make a clearing there of all the old sins. And then we have to make a clearance of the entire old life. We have to put it to death. That is if you want to go to heaven. Now, of course, a lot of people don't want to go to heaven, or they don't. They think they're going to go to heaven by doing good deeds. But that isn't how you go to heaven. Good deeds don't take away your sins. The only thing that can take away a person's sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true Church of God has actually a fantastic position in the Lord's business. If you're of the Lord, you have to take care of the Lord's business, and the Lord takes care of you. If you receive the Word of God, and receive it inwardly, then the Lord doesn't have to make an adjustment in your life to create an environment that you're not happy with, so that your stubbornness will go away, that you'll be broken. Your will must be broken, because Jesus said, and we have to be like Jesus, is that my will is to do the will of the Father. There was no will in him to do any of his own thing. His will was to only do what the Father wanted. Now, you say, but yeah, this is 2007, you know, or whatever. And, you know, we don't do things like that anymore. You will do things that way, no matter what era of time that you're living in, or you won't be in heaven. You'll be in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the Church of God has a fantastic position in the Lord's business. Because if you're connected with the Lord, the head, and his body, you're his body, then the head and the body are doing the same thing. So the Lord is doing his business through his body. And if your body is rejecting the business of the Lord, well, then you're not a member of the Lord's body. Hence, you're not saved. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're not saved, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. So, we could read right now, get to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And let's begin reading at verse 15, and let's go these verses 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Go ahead.
And he, Jesus, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Oh, yeah, if you're my body, then who do you say that I am? Because, okay, then what?
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
So what has ever been bound on earth has already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever has been loosed in heaven has on earth has already been loosed in heaven. It's already been done. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're the body of Christ. And that's just the way it is. Now, if the head says that, the body has to believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're disconnected from the head. You're a headless body. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't have a headless body. He's the head. And he doesn't have, he's not a head that doesn't have a body, because he does his work through the body. And we, the born again of the Spirit Christians, are his body. And so this is what the position, it's a fantastic position in the Lord's business, okay? Because the Lord is in us. And what a fantastic thing it is that we're in the Lord, and the Lord is in us doing his business through us. Amen?
Amen.
So that's, we're one. The Lord and we are one. And if you're not one, then you're not, you have to get into the Lord and let the Lord enter into you and be, become part of this fantastic position, the Church of God. Has actually this fantastic position in the Lord's business. He's busy. And so we just read from Matthew the 15th, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 19. Now let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32.
This is a great mystery.
Oh, This is a great mystery. The head and the body together, the church, the Lord's head and the church. So this is a mystery that has to be known, because the mystery of God has to be known. Otherwise, we can't. We're not going to get in to the kingdom of heaven. So this is a great mystery. And then what else?
But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Okay, so he's speaking this mystery. The mystery is Christ, the head, and the church. This is a big void in the people that call themselves Christians today, because they don't realize they got Christ somewhere up in heaven, and not really, even if they say that he's in us, and they say, well, we believe that he's in us and so on, but they don't believe that he wants to do the work, his business, in us. The mystery, this fantastic position of the church regarding the Lord's business, because the church and Christ are one. It's a great mystery. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a big burden for us in regard to talking about the fellowship of the church. There has to be a fellowship with the people of the church in order that we're all doing the same thing, just like the people of Israel when they were delivered out of Egypt, that they all were together. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Now, they weren't together with all the different religious beliefs that the Egyptians believed in, because God destroyed Egypt because of their false religions, and he's going to destroy this world as well. And his word destroys the religions of the world. So the fellowship of the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, if we're not fellowshipping one with another, well, then how could we be the body of Christ? There's so many catastrophes that happen in the church when the people don't listen to the Moses. Whoever God has chosen in these last days is a type of a Moses. And they just want to do business with the flock. Talks to each other, and then the catastrophe happens because they didn't get any fellowship with the head of the church here in this world. Because the Lord says that the people that are the chief in the body of Christ are the ministers, the teachers, the preachers, the evangelists, the pastors. Okay, so these different catastrophes happen when there's no fellowship. We have to talk about the fellowship of the church. If there you have a pastor, you have to fellowship with him and tell him what's going on in your life or in your business or so on, because you always God gives the head of the church, that God puts a person in charge of the church down here, because the Christ actually is operating in the body of the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist. And so therefore the people that are just the sheep, not the rams, but the sheep, need to fellowship together in the church. And they cannot exclude the pastor, the preacher, the teacher. He's the one that's leading you into the kingdom of heaven, and leading you in business, and leading in you in everyday life, because they're fully equipped. God has put the pastors, I mean the really good ones, the ones that are really of the Lord, he's put them through every walk of life so that they're able to handle everything, and they know what to do already when the Lord puts, they become part of the body of Christ. In other words, they become part of the church. And then he puts them in charge. He's not only called them, but he's chosen them. Many are called, but very few are chosen. Amen?
Yeah.
And the sheep of the flock are not chosen to run the business, and but there's a fellowship with the one that has been given the authority Because these authorities, the Bible says, are the preachers. Amen? The teachers, the evangelists, the ones that teach you what to do and what not to do. So the fellowship of the church, which is the body of Christ. In one way, we are able to see the building up of the body of Christ, in other words, the church. And in another way, we'll take one of the urgent needs every day of our lives. We'll take care of the urgent needs of the day, every day of our life, among the Lord's children. And there's urgent things that come up every day of our life among the Lord's children. And the Lord's children, if you're the Lord's children, then you report these things immediately to the, because it's urgent, to the leader. But if you're not of the Lord, well, then you just fellowship one sheep with the other sheep, and you don't report it to the ram, the leader, the one that's... You know, the people of Israel never took off. They waited for Moses to get the word from the Lord. And then when he got the word, they'd all pick up their tents, fold them up, and the tabernacle, and then they'd take off and go wherever the Lord was leading Moses to go. So this is, you have to clear your old ways of doing things on your own. Because he didn't do a very good job of that out in the world anyway. You were lost, and you're going to be lost again if you people of the church are not consulting the ones that you know that have definitely been called to the Lord. There's a lot of people that call themselves pastors, and they're not. They are not pastors of the Lord. So therefore, we're going to, this message is regarding life, and the way for the church to practice being the body of the Lord. Okay, so if you look at the scriptures, you will see that it's very easy if you are just have a mind that receives simplicity. It's very easy for you to understand the practice of the church. The first thing you have to know, among all other things in regard to the church, is to have any kind of practice. If you're going to practice, I brought this up yesterday in the message, there is the need of a certain kind of life, because you're going to be practicing the body life, the life of Christ. So if you're going to practice something, you have to adjust your life to that practice. So some of the people in churches have never adjusted themselves into the life that Christ practiced. That is the life of living in the Spirit. Don't do anything your own way. Do what the Lord says. And he said, communicate to the leader. Amen?
Amen.
When there was somebody, you know, doing something wrong in the life of King Solomon or King David, somebody would come and report it to him. Not many people, but somebody would come, and so he was alerted to what's going on, so he could do something about it. If you have the life of God, the immortality, you will have the practice. Now, if you're really alive in the Lord, you will know what the practice of the Lord is, because you have the life, because you read the Word of God, which is Spirit, and God's life. And when you read it, and not only read it, but study it and receive it into your soul, your spirit, your heart, your mind, primarily your spirit, well, then you have the practice. If you have the life, then you most certainly have the practice. Amen?
Amen.
Because the life is the Word of God, and you read it and practice what the Lord commands you to do. And if you don't, you're nothing. If you don't have the life, if you don't have God's life living in you, then it's impossible for you to have any kind of practice, Because you're not even born again. You're dead, and the dead know nothing, and they don't practice anything except sin. They operate under the law of sin and death. After you have the life of God living in you, you need the way. Well, the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen?
Amen.
So you need the way. In other words, there's a method that you must have for the practice. So this life, which is the life of God, really is to give you a secret, and you should already know this, but the life of God is the power to be able to practice. Amen?
Amen.
And for you to be able to have the method. So you have to have the method for the practice. This life of God is the power. You've got to have life, God's life, in you in order to have the power, God's power in you, which is also the strength for you to be able to be operating as the head. Because as I said yesterday, if I want to go to the beach, my head is telling me to do that, but my head can't go there without the body. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if the Lord wants you to go one day, I would say, so many times like this, but I'll give you one example. It's like Susie said, I'm led to go to this park over at the Silver Lake District. And I said, okay. I knew she was of the Lord, and so I figured she's led, something's going to happen there. So we got there, and I was just a young Christian. She said, raise your hand and say, I am a Jew. I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole park went crazy. I was just standing on a little grassy area over there. And here everybody, all kinds of people, and they were mostly Jews, were running out after me. And they said, you're not a Jew. You're not a Jew. You're not a Jew. And my voice is very bassy, and I was saying, I am a Jew. They said, you're not. And they were shaking their fists, and there was a little chain between these concrete pillars going across, so they seemingly kept their place there. And I saw a man from the left running at us. Back then I could see a lot better. This is going back over about 42 years ago. And he was coming, and I could tell that he was full of rage. He was a big guy. And so I pointed my fingers at him and said, the blood of Jesus is against you. And I saw an actual fireball come right from my hand. It was like the flash of a camera, real strong flash. It hit him in the face, and I knew it hit him in the face because immediately then it did, he turned right around. The exact instant that I saw that hit his face, and he went the other way. So this is a good example of that. We went where the head told us to go, told Sue to go. I wasn't that well acquainted with the Lord's voice at that time. I'd only been saved for about a year and a half. I knew his voice when he was talking to me, but sometimes he talks to other people besides me, and he talked to Sue a lot. So you've got to have the life in order to have the power, which also is your strength. So, in other words, the Lord is our strength and our power. It is your strength and power, but if you're not using his strength and power, if you're not obedient to his word, the strength and the power will not be yours. Because the Lord, if you're attached to the head, then the Lord's strength and power, you have that then. So which is, but the way is the actual method. So you have the power, the strength, you have the life, but the way is the actual method. Now, you don't know the method. In order to have any kind of practice, we need the life as the way. So if the life, which is God, is the way, then we read his word and we know the way. Amen?
Amen.
So in order to practice, we need to know the way. And when we have the life, we have the way. Because we read the word of God, which is life, and we practice the word of God, which is the way. Amen?
Amen.
We need the life, the word of God, which is spirit and life, as well as the way. So when we have the life, which is God, God is the word, in order to have the practice of the church and the way to practice it. Okay? That's why he says, I am the way. Amen?
Amen.
He is the practice. He's the, and he gives us the strength and the power to be able to practice it. So now let's go to, we just read Matthew 16, verses 15 through 19. And I'm going to read it again to you in the original Hellenic Greek. He, Jesus, said to them, but who do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this son to you. Now, I can preach the gospel to you, but the Lord is the one that has to reveal it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm telling you what the fact is, and unless the Holy Spirit is anointing my message into your heart, which is the good soil, or the rocky soil, whatever, this is not flesh and blood that has revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I also say to you that you are Peter. That's a fact. You are Peter. And upon this rock, which Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Messiah. Upon that rock, which is Jesus, I will build my church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you, if you believe that I really am, and I know that the Lord has revealed that to you, that I really am the rock, that I'm the Messiah, and that I'm the head, and you're the church, then I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. And whatever you bind on earth, now if you really believe that I'm the head, and you're the body, and you're going to do what the head says, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in the heavens. And whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. In verse 18, the Lord means a little rock, a stone. The large rock refers to Jesus with the living and real knowledge of the Lord, of himself. Christ will build his church upon himself. He's the chief cornerstone. Not Peter. Peter is getting rebuked for it. Jesus called him Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, for you're an offense unto me. Amen?
Amen.
So how could a man that is allowing Satan to use his mouth be the rock that God is going to build, the Lord is going to build his church on? That's ridiculous. A lot of, you know, this is what the Catholic cult says, because they always want to put Mary or Peter in front of Jesus, and there's no one in front of Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is, you know, people that say otherwise are cults. So Christ will build his church upon himself as the Son of God and upon the living and real knowledge of him. Now, if you want to know who him is, he is the head and he is also the body. How could Christ be the head and not the body? Mm-hmm. Is your body united with your head?
Yes.
It is? Well, then your head, your body is also united. It's the same thing. Your head and body are one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he is the head and he is also the body, his body. His body is the church. The New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. In this part of the Word of God, or the Scriptures, we have Christ the church, heads, his head. We have Christ the church, which is the body. We have also Hades and the kingdom of heaven. It says so in these things. It says the gates of Hades or hell should not prevail against them. We're talking about all these different things here, Jesus is. We also need to read Ephesians 5:32, which we already did, right?
Right.
Quote, this mystery of the church and the head, the body and the head, this, he says, in Ephesians 5:32, that this ministry is great. It's great, a great mystery. Amen?
Amen.
A big mystery, the biggest, great. When God says something is great, it's great. It's big. Amen?
Amen.
This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ, the head, and the church, the body, which are both one. Amen?
Amen.
The great mystery is concerning Christ and the church. In other words, the Lord is speaking about the head, which is himself, and the body, which is himself, which is the church, though. Amen?
Amen.
So he gets around in this world in those of us that are members, corporate members of his body, his church. That's how he gets around and spreads the word. It's him in us that's doing that. We know that we have the life, so we are able to practice the church life. But before we go any further, we need to see something about or something concerning the practice of the church. This is a burden that I have. To lay a foundation, the foundation pointing out the position of the church, which in God's business. God is taking care of business here on earth, and he does it through his church. Amen? His body, the New Jerusalem, his bride. If you, we human beings have our business, you know, we have our everyday business, then don't you think that God has his business too?
Amen.
Amen. Okay? We're nothing without him, so he has business as well. And the divine business, God's business, in other words, God's business, the church has a tremendous position. My friend Alberto Rivera always used to say, tremendous. Oh, man. There was something about the way he said that I like. So every time I see or want to use that word, easy, tremendous. You can hear all of the time that Christ is the center of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Scriptures, in other words. Although I admit that this is true, I would like to say that the center of the Scriptures is not only Christ himself. Christ, as the center of the Bible, is the head, physically speaking, the work that he's doing here on earth. We all know that with the head, that there is to be a body. You can't just have a head and forget about the body. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God, the Bible, shows us a great man, a universal man. Colossians 3:10 and 11. Okay, this universality, this is a great man. Throughout the entire universe, this is a great man. And that man is Christ. With his church, in other words, his body. There's two men. One is the first Adam, and then Jesus is the last Adam. So if you're in this great man, he kept all the commandments, wasn't like Adam at all. Jesus kept all the commandments. Adam didn't. So the Lord has restored the business that he first intended through himself as the head and we as the body, the church. So this universally great man is Christ with his church, the body. Christ himself is the head of this great man, and his church is the body of the man. Therefore, we must realize that the center of the scriptures is not only Christ, but Christ and his body, the church. You don't want to remove the church from the scriptures, because if you have Christ as the head, surely you have the church as his body. It is impossible for anyone to go anywhere with just their head and leave their body at home. Yet some people would argue by saying, let us talk only about Christ. Don't talk about the church at all, they say. But it is not scriptural. It's not right to say this is all that it is. If you're going to speak about Christ, you must have to say something about the church, his body. I have run out of time, folks, so I'm going to continue this message mañana, tomorrow. I didn't even have anyone read testimonials today, because this is such a great message regarding the head and the body. We have to talk about both of them, amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his body too, amen?
Amen.
I'm not just going to talk about the head, but he is doing work through his body. His body is holy just as the head is, amen?
Amen.
All right, so those of you that want to be part of this body, this universal part of this universal great man, instead of the man that's going to hell, there's only two men. You have to, Adam, or all those that are not in Christ, are members of the corporate body of Antichrist. So don't be Antichrist, be in Christ. Say this prayer to be in the body of Christ. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Get baptized in water, fully submerged, and then get baptized with the Holy Spirit and stay in the life, which is the Word of God, on a daily basis, and stay in prayer to the throne of the Lord. Now, here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of program number 345. Mention whether you want a CD or audio tape. It's free, including postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the conclusion or a partial conclusion of this message. There's so much more to tell about the body of Christ, about Christ, the head and his body. Now here's H.B. Barnum's wonderful choir to sing Life Prayer Song.
Christ.